Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
The privilege and the honor to be able to share the Word of God. Amen. And it's good for myself because it always allows me to hear from the Lord. But I also enjoy being blessed with the opportunities to share His Word. Amen. So we're going to get it going. We're continuing in the series of hearing God's voice. Somebody say hearing God's voice. Come on, somebody say hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's important that we learn how to hear God's voice. So what we've been doing is been going through some of the stories in the Bible where different people have heard God's voices or God's voice spoken to them. Some of the key scriptures for this text is Isaiah 40, chapter 31. And it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." One of the key words in there is waiting on God. Amen. Sometimes you have to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes you have to wait to hear from God. I mean, how many have wanted God to speak right away? But sometimes He lets you have to wait. Right? Why? Because God reveals and teaches us patience in the relationship with Him. But also there's going to be sometimes where you can't get what you want right away. Amen. And you shouldn't just really what that begins to do is if you don't get what you want right away and you start throwing a pity party, what that does is shows where your relationship is. It's all about you. Amen. But if you're saying, "Hey, God, you know better than I do. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to wait upon you, even though I might want it right now." God, sometimes He has to do what we call delayed gratification, so that we can make sure that our job and our focus is with the relationship and our relationship with Him. Amen. The other scripture is Psalms chapter 130, verse 5. It says, "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I do hope." And we want to hope in God's word. Amen. That's our only hope. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for this day, this opportunity, dear God, that we are able to hear your word, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that you would just reveal your word to us, oh God. Allow us to hear something today that will impact us. And dear God, that it will keep us on track and focused on what you have for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen. All right. Last week, I talked about Jonah and how he heard from God, but see, a lot of people might hear God's voice, but if you do the opposite of what God's voice is saying, are you really hearing God? Right? You might have heard God, but your voice was louder than God's voice, so you decided to listen to your voice. Today, we're going to go to Noah, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 6. Somebody say Genesis. In the beginning. Amen. Got to quiet people today. Hallelujah. Amen. But we're going to get it going. But when we think about hearing from God, Noah is one of those rare people that were the only ones that heard from God in the time that he was in. Amen. Now, when we're just going to read through this chapter, we're going to read chapter 6, 7, and 8. We're going to read bits of 7. But I want us to see the whole story of Noah and why it's important and what we can even learn from hearing God from this instance. Amen. All right. It says, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said," all right, this is him speaking, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil, not just a little bit, but continually. Amen. So what we get to see already is there is a state on the earth where everybody is continually walking in evil. So what that tells me is that when people are walking in the wrong direction, God has to send a word for it to get turned back right. Amen. And if God doesn't send a word, it's going to continue in the path that it was. All of our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Somebody raise your hand and say, my heart come on, is deceitfully wicked. Monica, raise your hand and say it. Amen. Hallelujah. But all of our hearts are deceitful and wicked. If it's not for the voice of God, we will continue in our wickedness. Amen. So we see this story right here that God sees the earth. It's continually wicked, and no, there's everybody's hearts are wicked, and he's like, something has to get done. I have to send a word because these people are not getting it. Amen. And it says, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. Man, that's crazy, right? God was sorry. If we turn it a few chapters back in Genesis 1, he said, it is good. All right. Now, we don't know how many years were from Adam to Noah, but it wasn't like a week, right? Adam is dead. Adam lived like 900 years, right? So by the time you get to this story, the earth has been going for a while. But God said he was grieved that he made man. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, that's a whole, you could preach a sermon on that, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because his heart was right towards God. Amen. And how many of you know that in order to hear from God, right, our hearts should be right, and not just hearing, because some people hear the word of God, but they don't do the word of God. Amen. When we think about God's word, it's not just so that we can hear it or read it. It is so that we can become what the word of God tells us to become. And as we read it, as we hear it, it causes us to desire to please God. This next segment says it's called Noah Pleases God. All right. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Amen. Somebody say walked with God. This is important to hearing from God, is learning how to walk with God. Now, we don't actually, there's not a street that God walks on, right? There's not a street that God walks on that we got to get on that street, but there is a way that you live that will cause God to say, I want to walk with that person. Amen. We see stories of people in the Bible. Enoch, God was like, man, I love Enoch so much. He just need to come with me. He's not even going to see death. I'm going to bring him up here so he can be with me. Why? Because Enoch walked with God. His desire was to please God. Pleasing God should be something that we want to do at all times. Amen. We walk or we associate with the people that we enjoy to be around. Right? Some of us say, hey, man, I wish I had believers that were around me. But well, you have to want to be around believers. Amen. You can't just, it just doesn't happen. We hear the phrase that birds of the feather flock together. Right? Why do they do that? Because that's a desire that they have. You don't see, you know, Pastor Nate always had the story of the eagles and the chicken. Right, where the eagle was born there with the chickens for some reason. And he was walking like the chickens, but after a while he's like, hold up, I'm not a chicken. Right? And this is the crazy thing. Once we get saved, we realize that we are not chickens. Amen. I mean, we know we're not chickens, but you understand what I'm saying. God has marked us, he has created us to be different. And we should begin to walk with God and those that love God. Now, this doesn't mean that you do not have unsaved friends. All right? Because the only way you can have unsaved friends is if you're in heaven. The only way you cannot have unsaved friends is if you're in heaven. I'm sorry. Right? But while we are here on earth, you're going to have friends that are around you that, okay, yeah, I'm their friend. But then there's people that you walk with. Like, okay, oh, hey, what you about to do? Hey, man, I'm coming with you, man. Let's go do it. Why? Because you have the same heart and the same mind. Amen? This should let you know if you have some friends that are not walking with God, there should be some times that you are going in different directions. Why? Because you are walking with God. Amen? Let's keep on going. It says, verse 10, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, so what is God doing? He's speaking to Noah here. He says, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Mark yourself, or make yourself, an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the bread of life. Everything is on the earth shall die. Everything that is on the earth shall die. So, but somebody say, but. It goes that word in the Bible again, right? God already set forth some things, but he says, but I will establish my covenant with you. Why is God doing this? Because Noah walks with God. Amen. God establishes covenants, which means a covenant is a promise that he has with people. There were some things that God did not do to some people's generations because of the covenant that God created with that person. Why? Because that person walked with God. Amen. We have the desire to walk with God so that not only God's promises are with us, but that we have the favor of God in our life. Amen. We all want the favor of God. We want to walk in the room. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. God is doing this in my life. God is doing that. But you have to, even when you're by yourself or alone, you have to learn how to walk with God. Amen. Somebody say, walk with the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Amen. I heard some chords on that one. Shoot. Praise the Lord. Anyway. But he says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark with your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and after every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. All right? Now, verse 22 is important. So God spoke. Now, when we think about God speaking, Noah had never seen an ark. Come on, somebody, right? Noah had never seen rain. Noah had never seen everything on earth destroyed. But because he heard God speak to him, verse 22 says, come on. It says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did it. All right? God spoke something to Noah, and Noah didn't question God. See, look, this is how we get in trouble. Sometimes God is speaking some things to us, right? We hear them, but we're like, oh, man, oh, no. Is that God? I need a confirmation, Lord. Can I get a confirmation? I'm going to go to this church over here,
and see if they confirm the same word that God spoke to me. Oh, they didn't confirm the word. What was the word that they spoke? I don't even know. But, right, I mean, that's what happens sometimes, right? But God has spoken a word, and when he speaks a word, you must be obedient to that word and operate in the same thing that God has said. Amen? Amen. So let's go to chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen you are righteous before me in this generation. All right? It says, you shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two of each animal that are unclean, a male and his female, and seven each of the birds of the air. All right? Let's skip down to verse 7. We hear all the things that God told him to bring. We're going to read verse 7 through 17. It says, so Noah with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean animals, of the animals that are unclean, of the birds and everything that creeps on the earth, two by two went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Amen. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on the day of all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. Now, let me say something about God's word that, I thank God for his, he'll teach you some things. One thing about God's word is, though the rains come, though tribulations and trials come, his word will protect you. Amen. I can look at the ark and we can look at really this is God's protection and God's preserving those who obey his word. Amen. We can look at that. It's the same thing. If God tells you to do something, if you're obedient, his word will cover you. His word will preserve you. His word will keep you from the storms and the trials of life. Many times we get hit with some rain in our lives, and all of a sudden we're like, God, I don't know if your word was true in my life. I heard you say this, and it's not looking like it's going to turn out the way that you said it was going to turn. But that's just like Peter when he stepped out on the water. Amen. Peter stepped out on the water. Oh, man, I'm walking, right? Walking on the water. And all of a sudden, he realized what? He's walking on water. But then he realized not only is he walking on water, he's walking on the word that God told him. Jesus told him to come. So he's safe as long as he's walking on the water and keeping his eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. But then he begins to say, oh, man, I'm walking on the water, but the wind is blowing. Right? Now, I don't know what your wind is that's blowing in your life is, but a lot of times that wind that's blowing in your life is keeping you from focusing on the word that God has said. And what began to happen? He began to panic. He began to fall. Jesus, save me. Jesus was already saving him if he kept his eyes on him. Amen. But he got to the point where he allowed his circumstances or surroundings or even the wind that was around him to make him panic. All right, let's keep on going. It says in verse 13, on the same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons were with them, entered the ark, they and every beast after his kind, all cattle, after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after his kind, and every bird after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah two by two of the flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Amen. Now, this is interesting how God shuts the ark, right? Now, this is in the word of God. God shut the door of the ark because Noah was not strong enough to. Noah did everything that God had said. So guess what God does? He shuts the ark for him. He makes sure they're safe. Now, how does God do that?
Right? Does God just send his hand? I mean, was it just a huge hand that came and closed it? We don't know, but all we know is that since Noah was obedient, God provided, oh, I can say it like this, a ram in the bush. Right? Abraham was obedient to God. God said, do something. God, he didn't even want to do it, but he did it. And since God saw that he was faithful, he rewarded him. Amen? And he provided what he needed. That's another word. God will provide what you need when you are obedient to his word. Amen? Oh, man. Let's go to verse 17. Actually, I was only supposed to read to verse. Well, let me just read the rest of this chapter. Now, the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. All right, so this is a huge, huge flood over the mountains. Amen. It says in verse 21, and all flesh died and moved on, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts of the air, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he, God, destroying all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air, they were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah, those who were with him in the ark, only Noah and those who were with him on the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. All right. Now, I don't want to make a doctrine off of 150 days, but 150 days is pretty much 15 months, right? 15 months. Let's just say average is 30 days in a month. Is that right? 5 months. I'm sorry. Are you sure 5 months? I'm tripping. My bad. My math was off. I was just trying to see if y'all up. You feel me? Anyway, 150 days. Now, the crazy thing that we have to look at is that God kept them. Now, I want to know this. They were in there for pretty much, let's say 6 months, right? Say 6 months. They were in the ark. Half a year. What was their faith like? Man, God, you said you were going to save us, but did you say it was going to take 6 months? Right? This is taking longer than what we thought, God. But since they held on to the word of God, and that's pretty much all they had at that time, because you couldn't just go out and go swimming, right? Yeah, you're just sitting. And so what I'm going to say is this. Sometimes you just have to hold on to that word of God, no matter how long it takes, just saying that God said it, it's going to be as he said it's going to be. I'm going to trust you, God. Okay, God, it's Lord, man, I'm going to trust you. Okay, this is 6 months. God, I'm going to trust you. Even though I haven't seen everything that you said, I'm walking in it. And sometimes you have to just walk in obedience step by step. And wait until God allows that next opportunity to come. But let's say if Noah was like, oh, I'm not going to finish building this ark, he would have been dead with everybody else. Right? And God could have killed everyone. Right? He could have went back to the dirt and the sand and said, let me make another man. Adam messed up. Right? God could have did it. But then if God would have did that, we wouldn't have been able to see how powerful his deliverance is. Amen? Let's read chapter 8. And then we're going to wrap it up. Then God remembered Noah. Somebody say, God remembered Noah. Now, that does not mean that God forgot Noah. Let's be clear. God doesn't forget anything. Amen? Even your sins that he chooses to throw away,
If God wanted to, he could say, man, look, this person did this. But because of his son's righteousness, when he looks at us, he looks at his son if you've accepted his son. Amen. And he looks at his son and his son has done no wrong. So since he did no wrong, he looks at us and say, man, you're covered by my son's blood. Yep. Amen. So now I've erased all this, the memory of your sins. But it says, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Now, that's so interesting. What in the world? Like, the winds made the waters go away. Right? Interesting, isn't it? Because logically, if you think about this, I sound like my dad. But if you let wind blow water, the water is just going to keep on going somewhere. Right? But God sent this wind to subside the waters. It says, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. All right? And that just shows how powerful God is. God can allow rain to go, and God can allow rain to stop. Amen? It says, and the waters receded continually from the earth, and the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it's taken a long time for this water to decrease. But they're holding on to the word of God because God is delivering. God's word is the deliverance. Amen? Amen? So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. Why did he make it? Because God told him to make a window, right? Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters have receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him. For the waters were on the face of the earth, whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. Now, it's interesting. Now, he sent out the raven, right? We talked about birds. We've been talking a lot about birds today. You got the chicken, you got the eagle, you got the raven and the dove, right? Now, the raven went out but didn't return to the ark, which I said earlier, could represent the word of God, right? Some of us, we know where the word of God is, but we go out, and we don't return to the word of God, amen, which is our deliverance. But that dove was smart enough to say, oh, okay, wait, there's no firm foundation that I can find out here outside of that ark, which is God's deliverance. So I'm going to go back to that word. Amen. Why is this important? Because sometimes we have to realize that just because you go out, if you don't come back or stand on a word of God that God has given to you, you can be in trouble. Amen. And let's be clear, that bird was gone. Right, we don't know what happened to him, but I was just thinking about it as I was reading this story. All birds have to land sometime, right? And not only that, they have to eat. I don't know if that bird had anything to eat out there, but he was gone. But the dove came back. He said, Noah's feeding me good. I'm coming back. Amen? And let's see, what verse am I on? Verse 9, but the dove found no resting place for the sole of her feet, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days. And again, he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. Amen. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Maybe that's why they didn't have a leap year that year. They just got out, right? It was like, I'm out. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and the cattle of every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, thank God, amen, and day and night shall not cease. Now, what we get to see is Noah gets off the ark, and the first thing he does, after he gets all them animals out, right, is he builds an altar. Builds an altar and thanks God, and his praise brought God joy. Amen? So it's important not only to hear God's voice, but after he has delivered you, after he has done something in your life, you must have a sacrifice of praise. Amen? Why do we do this? To show God that we're thankful. Amen? Yesterday, I was driving on Seward Park, right not too far from here, and a guy was in our lane driving 70 miles per hour the other way, right? Headed straight towards us. Now, I slow down, and I'm honking like, oh, my goodness, what's the deal? The car loses control, and you guys know at my parents' house, they have those big old rocks in front of the yard. He spins out and smashes the car, totally smashes the car. Then he gets out the car and drives away with some of his buddies, right? This is crazy. But instead of being like, man, I'm lucky, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And I posted on Facebook. I let people know. I said, man, thank God for his safety and deliverance. Amen? Why do we do this? So people know that it's God that protects us. Yesterday, I had a person after that. I drove Uber. I had to wait a little bit, you know, just to make sure I was good. But I went and drove Uber, and there was a young lady that got in my car. She's like, how's your day going? And I'm like, I'm just thankful that I'm alive. I thank God that he saved us. And I told her the story, and she's like, wow. She's like, man, that's crazy, right? And then she's like, man, God has been tugging at my heart lately. And she was just telling me, you know, how her parents or something are pastor in a big church, but she hasn't really been going to church. And I was like, well, God wants you to be on his team. Amen. And she didn't want to get out the car. You know, I gave her a card. I said, hey, you guys should check us out on podcasts and stuff. But the reason why I say this is that's what happens when you offer a sacrifice of praise to God. People even around you are like, man, that must be God. Amen. It's not luck, but it's what God has done. Amen. So a couple things is sometimes I'll even say this. Sometimes obeying God's word is going to be a lonely place. Noah's family was it. Amen. It wasn't the popular choice. Somebody say it was not.
Was not
the popular choice. Because we have to remember that all the wicked people looked at Noah like, man, what are you doing, Noah? But Noah was obeying God's word. Some people, when you're obeying God's word, there's going to be people that ridicule you and think that you're the dumb one, right? Because you're obeying God, which they don't believe in. But how many know that when that flood came, I bet you there was a lot of people that was like, yo, Noah was right. But it was too late. They heard the word of God spoken through Noah. Amen. But they did not listen. And we, when we want to hear God's voice, we must listen. And also, one thing about God's voice is he gives us direction, clear direction. And not only that, we see how long it took. We see the time that it took. God's timing is perfect timing. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, dear God, that what was spoken, dear God, would not just we would not just hear it, but we would act upon it, dear God, and that we would hear your word, apply your word that you've spoken to us, oh God, the word and the word of God, and even the rhema word that you speak to us, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.